3, 2, 1. Yes, you got it. I am back. I was fired up. You heard it in my voice. Stephen Brody Stevens, All Things Comedy, Festival of Sports. That's what we're calling it. With me, your host, on podcast, on Periscope, on the microphone here in Burbank. I've embraced Burbank. Burbank and Brody have had their issues in the past, but I'm taking different routes into Burbank. I'm taking the 5 coming up from the 118, and I'm actually seeing the mountainsides of Burbank, the houses on the hills. The sun's coming at me from a different angle as opposed to driving from over the Laurel Canyon, driving over in Studio City. So if you enter Burbank up from the north and bring it down, you get the feel for the valley. And that kind of gave me a different energy. I've not had apple cider vinegar today. I apologize. For a guy who always talks about the value of apple cider vinegar, and for him not to take it, shame, wrong, liar, truth not in advertising. Why didn't you take it, Brody? Mr. Apple Cider Vinegar guy, because that's all you talk about. We just expected to see a guy on a podcast, on a Periscope, who is drenched in the power of apple cider vinegar. The reason why is not because I ran out of apple cider vinegar. I've got 2 bottles of apple cider vinegar. If you want to play that game, I have 2 nearly full bottles of apple cider vinegar. And the reason why you're asking, well, Brody, why aren't you drinking apple cider vinegar today? It is because, and I'll let you know, I have no juice to dilute it with, okay? So for all those at home saying, just down it, take a shot. Really? You want me to burn my esophagus? I have a show tonight. I'm at the World Famous Comedy Store on January 24th, 2018. They say to make your podcast, your Periscopes, evergreen. I say F that. You're hearing my voice right now. Stephen Brody Stevens, San Fernando Valley. These are where the majority of podcasts are done. I would say the top podcasts, well, I don't know. I don't want to say where these studios are. I know I'm here, and I'm excited to be here. And I had Burger King for lunch. I'll be honest. When you have Burger King for lunch as opposed to Burger King at night, late night after you're going home at 2 a.m., the Burger King for lunch, you can really taste the flame broiling. I believe they take their time to really flame broil it, and they have a full staff. And the manager is on duty. Corporate's going to swing by. When you're at Burger King in Hollywood on Sunset and La Brea at 2 a.m., it's a free-for-all. They have their system. I'm sure they're cutting corners, but everybody gets it. So if you think your Whopper is going to get an extra minute or two on there, it's probably not. If you think the lettuce is going to be perfect, it's probably not. But you're going to say, well, what do you mean? They're going to give you less lettuce? No, they're going to give you more lettuce. Actually, too much lettuce to the point where it's going to take away from the actual barbecue grillage on the burger. I had the burger today. I had a double Whopper, and I could taste it. I took the time to sit there and look at the patty. That's another thing. When you're eating lunch, they shut down the Burger King dining room at like 11 or 12 o'clock. So you get a guy like me, I'm forced to eat in my vehicle. I am forced to eat in my vehicle. And by doing that, I'm not able to fully get the benefits of a Whopper, of a McNugget. And they offer 10 McNuggets for $1.69. Do you want to get 4 chicken nuggets for $1.29? Or do you want to get 10 for $1.69? That's an upsell I'll go with. And I did. And I was able to sit there and request 2 barbecue packets. And actually, I do the barbecue packets fit nicely on my manual shifting automatic shift. What is it called? Automatic gear shift area in my car. The way the barbecue packets fit perfectly into the indentation of the shifting gear on my Toyota Avalon. But today, I opened up the wrapper. I laid things down. I had 2 Dixie cups, you know, those little expandable Dixie cups of ketchup. I was able to, like, really look at and appreciate what I was eating. I think Burger King should keep that in mind. I know it gets crazy, but keep that dining room open. Only for they should give the throw in a light, you know. Look at our food when you eat it. Look at our food. Presentation matters. I think that's what you're getting at, Brody. Presentation. You ate in the dining room. You could see everything. And I want to say Burger King today, the Burger King in Burbank. What are the odds? Well, you can't spell burger without burger. You can't spell burger. 3, 2. You can't spell Burbank without Burger King. You can't spell Burger King without Burbank. That's a tweet. That's actually a tweet. You can't spell Burger King without Burbank. That's a tweet, and I'll stop down a podcast. I'll stop down a Periscope to get that tweet out. So I went to that Burger King, and I felt I'm a little bloated, but I'm going to walk it off later. I'm going to walk it off like the Mediterranean Russian ladies who walk after meals. That's what I'm going to do. And I would say, Burger King, you did a good job. Thank you very much. Aaron, I know you want to add something. Aaron is eager to add something. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Aaron.
I was just going to say that Burger King is world famous.
That one right there?
It's in Back to the Future.
Wait, that Burger King?
Yeah. At the beginning of the movie, when he skates past the Burger King.
God. Wait, that Burger King right there. Mm-hmm. That one on, what is it, Buena Vista? What street is this?
Victory Boulevard.
Oh my God, that's something that needs to be documented. That is something that needs to be documented. And it was an old school Burger King because that's remodeled.
Yeah, it's been remodeled since then.
And it was a Burger King? It was a real Burger King?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. So I should it's on Back to the Future?
In the very first Back to the Future.
Where did you learn that from?
Looking at it, watching it. I'm like, holy, that's...
You know it's that one.
Uh-huh.
How did you know? Like, how could you tell?
You can double check on IMDb. It's there.
Double whopper check?
Mm-hmm.
Just oh, it has the locations?
Check. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
You know where I think I've spoken about this on this pod Periscope before. You know where they filmed the scene from Say Anything with the boombox? You know the movie Say Anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Love
in
it.
Your eyes, love you're it. Not complete, your eyes. That scene.
Beautiful voice.
Thank you very much. That was a Peter Gabriel song.
Mm-hmm.
Who was also, was he the lead singer of Genesis? He was in Genesis.
Yeah, before.
Phil Collins and his drums took over.
Mm-hmm.
Singing and drumming is very difficult to do.
I can imagine, yeah.
So, we were talking about what?
Back to the Future.
You got it, but yep. Something after that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Say Anything.
In Your Eyes, that scene, it's an iconic scene.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we spoke about it on this podcast Periscope before.
No.
Do you know where that scene took place?
No, I don't. I mean, it's supposed to be Seattle.
Right, supposed to be Seattle.
Yeah.
That scene took place in North Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
At North Hollywood Park, right across the street from the 7-Eleven. The 7-Eleven in Say Anything is still there.
Yeah.
It's been, it's a new sign, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But the angle, when you look at John Cusack and Ione Sky in the parking lot at 7-Eleven, and the angle you're looking at it into the North Hollywood Park, it's still there. You can kind of still see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe you can do that too with the Back to the Future reenact. I like to reenact scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Karate Kid House, I'll reenact that. I'll go into a Mr. Miyagi's Bonsai Shack, and then I'll have my friends hop over the fence like Billy Zabka when they were dressed up in the Halloween costumes. So, no, that's a cool fact. Isn't that cool, like going to where they film movies? I mean, I used to get a kick out of that.
Yeah, yeah. I still haven't gone to the mall. It's a Puente Hills Mall.
Where they had the Back to the Future Mall?
Yeah, where they get in the time machine and all that, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, as a kid, I used to sneak on the lot at Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. Just, you think about, there's still nothing like walking around a studio back lot on a studio. When you see the sets, you see the facades. Because when I worked over for Undateable on NBC at the Warner Brothers, I'd walk around. You'd walk where they filmed St. Elsewhere, the Chicago shows, the New York block, and all of that. The history that took place. They had the full house out. It was just kind of cool being around that. And there's also something about being around creative people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hollywood gets bashed. Yes, everything that you're hearing about Hollywood and you're hearing about stuff, I don't want to get political. There's still like, it's fun to be around creative people.
Yeah.
I don't want to get political, but if you're to ask me, Brody, would you rather do a show in front of creative people or non-creative people? I'd rather do it in front of creative.
Yeah.
But they could be a pain in the ass, too. Sure. They can be, I'm too cool for school. Mm-hmm. I'm an artist. I've got a website. I download apps. Then you get the other person, lady, who's like an older lady from the Midwest, and she just wants to laugh. So you get that lady, mm-hmm. too. I don't know. I'm just thinking about crowds at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
You would think that this person would laugh, they wouldn't laugh. Or, you know, we get a lot of people from Toronto. There's a lot of these Canadians, they come to the, get a lot of Canadians and a lot of Australians at the Comedy Store.
Because they're all podcast fans.
I think that's right, right? Yeah. That somebody from Canada is listening to this. Somebody from... Yeah, you're right. I think that's a big podcasting.
Yeah,
as a big player.
It's huge in Australia.
Why is that? Why is podcasting huge? Just for they can get a taste of what's the real American culture that they don't get from Friends reruns or whatever they play down there. Yeah, I've never done Australia, but they come to the Comedy Store. They'll come there, and you know, it's a magnet. It's Yeah, I'd like to go to Australia. Have you been?
No, I haven't. I'd love to.
Let's see if somebody from the Periscope is in Australia. That's the beauty of a podcast and a Periscope. You could actually, right now, we have 31 people. Let's ask and see where they're from. Let's see. As I look, I'm Periscoping right now on this podcast. It's All Things Comedy. It's the Festival of Sports with Stephen Brody Stevens. We are now looking at, and we'll have a guest come in here, Kansas City. Aussies, where are you at? Los Angeles. That is right here. So we have somebody from Los Angeles. We have somebody from Alberta, Canada. Told you. Somebody from Burbank. Somebody from Granada Hills. I drove through Granada Hills today. What are the odds? Australians enjoy Burger King? Is there Burger King down there? Dingo
it's
Chills.
It's called Happy Jack.
It's called Happy Jack?
Yeah, I believe so.
What are you bizarring about, PewDiePie? Somebody called me PewDiePie. I'll take that. Montreal. We have another Canadian. That's like France. That's like Europe. Burger King needs to give you free food for a year for all the free shout-outs. That's right.
Hungry Jack. Sorry.
Hungry Jack.
That's Burger King.
That's Burger King.
Over there.
It's like
Hardee's and Carl's Jr.
There you go. Aaron knows his stuff. You have to have knowledge of the that's a test. What is the bizarro Carl's Jr.? And you would say Hardee's. And then you would also say, did you know that the Gap owns Banana Republic? Did you know that?
I'm not surprised.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that, no.
I mean, it could be. I don't think Banana Republic owned the Gap. I think Gap owns a Banana Republic. You heard the story about McDonald's owning Chipotle?
Yeah.
So you know that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have, there's another one that owns, Foot Locker owns Wendy's. No, I'm kidding. It's funny with Foot.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of Back to the Future locations, though, when we were looking for a wedding venue, my wife and I, there was a place in Pasadena. It was just some random venue. Next door, I thought next door was Doc Brown's house.
Right.
And I was like, we have to get married here. And then I researched it, and it's closer to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
So I was like, okay, we don't have to do this venue.
You were that yeah. sold on it. You're that into movie locations, and you said that would be a great story to say we got married next to the Back to the Future home.
Yeah. We did walk down the aisle as the first time as a couple, as a married couple, to Power of Love. So
there you go, Huey Lewis and the News, who played in Palm Springs the other day at the golf tournament.
Yeah.
There was the Bridgestone startup, whatever tournament it was. I was there, and Huey Lewis in the News and the Goo Goo Dolls were the next night, but they were playing. So I was in Palm Springs at Palm Desert at my mother's house on the couch watching the news, and the local newscaster was interviewing Huey Lewis. That's a connection. And also, as my mind is wandering, you talked about Huey Lewis, Back to the Future. And I mentioned sneaking on lots, Universal Studios, mm-hmm. Warner Brothers. So Universal Studios, we got onto that lot one night because I went there many years ago, the band Toto. If you remember the band Toto, my neighbor in Tarzana, John, was their photographer. So the band Toto would hang out at the townhouse in Tarzana. So then Toto was opening, or I think Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers was opening. I think Michael McDonald might have been headlining.
He could have been opening because Toto was huge.
My memory is fading. Yeah. My memory is fading. And that could be from lack of apple cider vinegar today. Possibly. I doubt it. So it was at Universal Amphitheater, which is no longer there. It got torn down a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And that's at Universal Studios. So I was always in love with Universal Studios. It was just something about movies. And it was really a big deal, Universal Studios, to go there. So we loved going to summer camp, spending the day there. So we were able to go to that concert, to be backstage. You drive on the back lot and park behind in the Universal Studio lot, because that's where the Universal Amphitheater was. So after the show, I was like I was 12 years old or whatever. We drove in the regular car on the back lot where the trams would go. I was like, my mind was blown. We went by the the Jaws, the Psycho House, and we're in a regular car, and I was like blown away that this is so cool. We're driving on the back lot, nobody's bothering us. So a few years later, this was my pal Brazello, actually, and a couple other friends, Mike Brazello, coach of the Cubs, and we were driving down Barham, and he said, because I saw that there was a gate to get in there. I knew there was a gate, so we went there. This is like 1984, 85, and the guard gate was there, and we saw a sign. It said Charles in Charge Party before we got to the gate. So it said, like, you're going in the right direction for the Charles in Charge Party. So we get to the gate, and the guy steps out. This is 1985, so this is before big security checks.
Yeah.
And I said, we're here for the Charles in Charge party. And he goes, okay, here's a map. It's at stage 9. So he gave us a map, and he let us in. And then we drove all around the back lot because we knew from taking the tour. And so we drove all around the back lot, and they were filming. They were off at that time, that night. They're filming Back to the Future 2. So we drove around the town square, and they had hoverboards lying around. And I remember we were driving around during that time. It was kind of cool. And we drove and went inside. Did we go inside the Psycho House? I think we got out of the car, and then we went inside the Psycho House, and it's just a facade.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did that, and we didn't get into trouble. And then one other time we walked into the Warner Brothers lot. We walked in, we walked around, we ate on a craft services, and they were shooting the movie, the Sylvester Sloan film, Stop or My Mother Will Shoot, you know that movie? So they're filming that, and we ate with the cast and crew. And then we walked around, and then we went to the Warner Brothers shop on site, like the prices are discounted on music and all that.
Yeah.
So we went to the Warner Brothers studio shop, and then we were walking back, and then this security guard on a bike came up to us and said, you're trespassing. What are you doing here? And we got into trouble. They took us into the security office. They took our photos. They put it up on the wall. Said, you guys, you're not allowed here. And, we got into trouble. So that was at the Warner Brothers lot. So there's just something about sneaking on the back lot at Universal just to be around the magic of movie making.
For sure.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's still, if that's still out there. I don't know. I don't know if that spirit of filmmaking is. Yeah. I mean, maybe, right? I don't know. Or people
I just
like
think security's too tight. But yeah.
Oh yeah, security's tight. But I mean, like I said, just a couple years ago, I would always walk around the Warner Brothers lot and check it out. And I also worked at the Fox lot. I worked back over there, but they don't have much in terms of, they're like a New York Street, but they don't have, it's not like Universal Studios where you can get lost out there. And
yeah.
The history of it. In fact, today I was out in Simi Valley and they, my friend has a property out there. There's a park back up in Simi Valley there and they shoot all the old movies. They have all these old movie sets still there, the foundation, and they have one like man-made lake. So if you had to cross the lake, like in a Western film, this is where they would fill it up. And they had, you could, it was drained, but you could see that they had little windows, little concrete windows where they could film underwater scenes. So they'd fill it up with water. So if they needed to show like a horse swimming through the water, they put those cameras. This is before everything was like electronic. And so they did that. So it was like a little interesting tour. And you would think about, you have to almost do movies in Southern California. I don't know where else you could do movies, have the natural land to play off.
Mm-hmm.
The weather.
The weather is a big reason why it all came out here.
But I think it's the weather and it's the scenery. Like you can go out into Simi Valley, which is 30 minutes from here, and feel like you're in the middle of Utah. So it looks like we have two guests. I thought we had one, but now we have two, and the energy is completely shifted. We're on Periscope. We are on live podcasting, and he's taking a video right now, and I'll play it natural because we're here in Burbank. We're doing all things comedy. We talk about issues of life, of being into baseball cards. Mm-hmm. I'm a 47-year-old man, and I appreciate – let's see, did it get in? Is it funny or no? Did the timing good on it? Yeah. Right, you want to sit in right now? You want to bring this guy in? Yeah. Let's bring this guy. Oh, you too? Do I know you?
Yes.
What? You're a comedian.
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Aaron Maliner. We did the Hammer and Stone show.
Hammer and Stone, where's that?
That was the show we did downtown in that warehouse where we all thought we were going to get stabbed.
Was I on that?
Yeah.
I kind of remember. Okay, you want to put on the headset? You want to get in here too?
Sure.
All right, so we have... our friend Brenton Biddlecombe, there he is. Brent, how do you say your last name?
Biddlecombe.
And what do people say about that? Do they say that keep the name, change the name, shorten it? Has anyone said anything?
The only person who ever said to change it was Mitzi.
Well, what do you think about that?
I am not going to change it. I like my name.
I'm not. It's hard for me to say. I didn't mean to like go at you that. You know I have trouble with the name.
Yeah. But it's kind of fun hearing you struggle every time.
Brenton Biddlecombe.
Biddlecombe.
And now you have your – Brenton's a comedian. He helps out here at All Things Comedy. He helps out at the Comedy Store. He's a big part of the resurgence. He understands the social media. He's a positive energy guy. He's professional. He gave me a nice label, right?
The most professional, Brody Stevens.
There you go. The most professional. And I think this guy's professional. I'm honored to think that he thinks that I'm professional because what this guy does is professional. He's on it, and people know it. It doesn't go without. I think he knows that people know, and that's got to be a decent feeling.
Yeah.
Right? So we have Brent. You've been on the show before.
Yes.
So we all know that you're from the Buffalo area.
Yes, sir.
And you went to school in Iowa?
Ohio.
That's right. I knew there was one of those letters involved. And now you have a friend with you who looks familiar. Would you like to go ahead and introduce
him? Yeah, this is one of my very good friends, Aaron Maliner. He's a comedian as well. We ran a show downtown in L.A. that we had you headline. How long ago was that? Like a year and a half ago?
Yeah. About 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And you said it was a dangerous, it was in a warehouse.
It was in the middle of nowhere, and it was a really sketchy neighborhood.
It's the up and coming arts district.
Yeah,
it's
the up and coming arts district that's been up and coming for 25 years. And
but
then,
that's downtown. That's what it is, right?
Did he ever do Palapalooza?
No. Yes, he did. Yes,
what
he
is
did.
It called?
Palapalooza.
Palapalooza.
Yeah.
Where's that?
Mr. Stephen Randolph and I had a show.
Stephen Randolph, yes. Who's done a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. The great Martin, Stephen Randolph, who's a hard worker also.
Yes.
Wait, so Palapalooza?
Mm-hmm.
Where was that?
That was at the Nerd Melt, the side stage, the little one, stage.
I did it?
That was where you did your stand-up, and then an improv team would go up and reenact your stand-up in improv.
I don't remember doing it.
Mm.
I was there?
Yes.
I think I went to the show that he was on, too.
Yes.
Because I think I helped.
You've done
you.
So many shows, Brody. I don't expect you to.
I mean, you're up every night.
What does that say about me? Does that say my memory's going wrong?
No,
you're
done
such
so
a hard
many
worker.
Shows.
You're pushing.
I mean, if you asked Joe Rogan to name a set from 2014, he would have a hard time doing it, you know, because he does so many hours of stand-up.
I can't tell you what we said on the show earlier today.
Yeah, there you go.
Because it's just so much.
But that, I mean, if you ask me about specific sets of the Comedy Store, I bet you I could remember. But you're asking me about the reason why I'm getting, because it's a different venue. I should know that. I should remember that.
Yeah.
But I don't. But if you ask me about Comedy Store, remember that night, this, I bet you.
Well,
I
have that too,
that.
Where I remember most of my sets from the store, but maybe that's just because it's our home. So.
Yeah.
It means more, you know?
I mean, you'll ask a baseball player or about, like, do you remember this at bat? A guy who's played like 20 years. You go, yeah, I remember that at bat. He threw me a curveball, fastball. So you do kind of remember some of those things. But yeah, there's stuff, you know, I'm 40, I'll be 48. You have like chunks in your life where you go, okay, that's relatively, you know, that's in this lifetime. And then there's another one. I think, honestly, like a big, like Kevin, our friend, Weho Jesus, who passed away, that was like a big marker for me. For you think about, oh, he's been around 7 years. You're like, wow, that's a long time. You go look at the photos and you go, that's a long time ago. So I don't want to sound morbid. So like when people die, keep thinking not about perspective, but time.
Right.
Time, and there's different. So I guess you forget or... They're just, I mean, I remember playing with the band all the time. You know, yeah. Don and Barris and I would go up.
I was at the tail end of that. I came to the store when you were just finishing up with them.
Yeah, like crazy late night stuff. But, you know, I go to the Comedy Store. I just think that it's going to come back. It goes in waves. Like eventually the band will be back and we'll play again. And these things, something else new will come up or it will repeat itself. Or maybe I'm getting older or maybe that was just, that was the time, and who knows what's going to come up in a couple years. I don't know. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think the next wave is? You know, because you had the Comedy Store after midnight in the OR, for example, the original room. It's pretty much you got a 4 or 5 guys after midnight, but you had the roast battle upstairs, which was the belly room, and that kind of started late at night on its own.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think could come? What's the next thing, if there is to be a next thing, and what do you think could come out, or what could come out of the Comedy Store?
Well, the one show I really like right now is the dance-off show that Justine Marino and Heidi are doing.
Oh, there's a dance-off show?
Yeah,
I don't know about
it's really good. You should check that out. It's once a month on Tuesday before Roast Battle.
Stand Up to the Streets, what's it called?
Yeah, Stand Up to the Streets.
Streets, yeah.
So who, really Justine Marino...
And Heidi.
I don't know Heidi. Do I know Heidi?
I don't think you know Heidi.
So what's the format of the show?
It's stand-up comedy, but then you have these comedians go up and they basically have a dance-off. And then there's like legitimate judges who are professional dancers that critique, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, also they have the choreograph. It's choreographed. They've spent time.
The comedians?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the comedians have actually practiced. Okay.
You know how occasionally on Roast Battle someone will come out and it's like a huge spectacle?
Yeah.
That's every single set on Stand Up to the Streets. It's just the focus is on that rather than the actual Roast Battle.
Aaron has something to chime in.
I'm thinking of like when I started doing stand up for the brief amount of time I did it, if dance was a component, I would have just stopped immediately.
Yeah, I'm not a dancer. I'm not a dancer. I'm not a singer.
Stand-up's so saturated now, you had to have a gimmick to stand out.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the really great comics are still going to rise up to the top, but for most of us, we're going to have to find a niche to get noticed because there's too many of us and not enough people to watch all of our stuff.
Dancing. Who would have thought that dancing would be...
But it's a really, really great show. It's high energy, and it's exciting, and it's something that you could take and put on TV.
Yeah, I could see that. Exactly. That's a sellable... Mm-hmm. product.
There are a lot of them are really good dancers, and to me that's not like it's more fun when they're not that good, but you watch them, you're like, geez.
Yeah.
They make me feel bad.
Are you a dancer?
I mean, I've dabbled a little bit, but I'm not like a professional, Brody. Not at all.
Now, what's your name again?
Aaron Maliner.
And has anyone ever told you to might change your name? That's my big thing. Everyone comes on the show, I ask them to change
your
name.
But that's funny you say that. Actually, he gave me the greatest advice because I wanted to change my name.
To Maliner Brittlecombe?
That's right. That's right. No, I wanted to change my last name. And he said, tell me how to spell Zach Galifianakis. And I said, I don't know. And he says, well, be funny enough and they'll know your name.
Galifianakis. G-A-L-I-F-I-A-N-A-K-I-S.
Aaron, are you fact-checking this right now?
No.
Okay. No, I know. I was friends with
That was right.
So it's Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Like, so I was friends with Zach, so I kind of, like, knew how to spell his name. So you'll work on that. Morena? Now, where are you from?
Maliner. I'm from Las Vegas.
Oh, you're from Las Vegas?
Yes, sir.
You grew up there?
Yes, until I was 20 years old.
So what do you think about Las Vegas? Does it get a bad rap for being a local, or is it?
Well, you know, I think it's changed a lot. You know, it used to not be a place where anybody would live. I was definitely one of the only people I've ever met that. Every time I tell people from Vegas, they've never met somebody from there. So I think it's changed a lot. You can actually live there. You can have a life there now.
It's the suburbs are pretty normal.
Yep.
And the schools are good.
Yep. I went to basic high school, so I guess maybe my school's not a good example. My school was called Basic High School.
But what was it like growing up?
It's called Basic High School, yeah. B-A-S-I-C, yeah.
But what was growing up in the shadow of the strip? I mean, were you...
My dad worked in the hotel. I have some crazy stories. My dad was the manager at the spa at the Caesars Palace, met everybody. Brody, I mean, was friends with Rodney Dangerfield. He's an interesting dude to talk to, my dad.
You trying to book him on the podcast?
I mean, if you want to have him, he'd love to do it. We'd have to fly him out, you know? I mean, I would take care of that, obviously.
Burbank.
We could phone him in.
Yeah, we could phone him in.
Vegas to Burbank is like a 35-minute flight.
Yeah, it's a great flight.
It is. It's a fun flight.
There's not a better airport than Burbank Airport, as far as I'm concerned.
Why is it so good?
Because it's small. You get in, you get out. You can load on both sides of the plane. That's amazing.
That's like the only airport in the country that you're allowed to get on.
From the back, right?
Front and back. And it just runs smooth.
Yep.
Is it a secret?
I think so.
I mean, I don't think it's a secret. I just think it's so much more expensive than LAX.
It's not
that
much more.
We're used to LAX
more.
Being a nightmare. It is, though.
You think it
depends on where you're going.
I don't know if it's... I mean, it's a little more expensive, but... LAX is
worth it if you're going to spend the money.
You have
to
more
not,
options.
But you're flying to Vegas from Burbank. Yeah. See, I'm flying to Ohio. It's so much more expensive. It's like $400 more than LAX.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
I think there are some.
But the experience is so much better.
Yeah.
The Burbank experience?
Yeah.
Bob Hope, man. Give it to him. Shout out to Bob Hope.
I would just, you know, some Burbank. That's like an airport just to hang out at. I bet you back in the day. I bet you even today, seniors walk there and just hang out.
It's like a who's who.
Well, they'll just say, no, because you don't. I mean, you there's benches.
Yep.
You can go in there and just hang out, and people watch if you're a local. That's the thing about Burbank. It's a unique city.
And when you go to drive up to pick somebody up, they're not really like argumentative. They don't like make you drive around. They're like, oh, okay, it'll be a couple of minutes. That's fine.
Yeah.
Go there on a Friday. Watch all the strippers.
Uh-huh.
The porn star is going to strip in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good time to go there.
Good hang.
To see him going up there. So did you do a lot of comedy in Vegas, or were there a lot of venues?
No, I started here. I started doing actual stand-up here, but I go back and do some shows there.
Now, how'd you get in? What's your name? Will?
Aaron Maliner.
Okay, Aaron.
That's fine.
So how'd you get into stand-up? I'm working on my interviewing.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great. Just, you know, I've always been funny. I've always been entertaining. I did improv. Obviously, you did my show. You don't remember, but that's fine. And I just started doing stand-up. Yeah. The great Stephen Randolph, Martin, said, you should do stand-up. And I said, all right, I'll
do
it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Stephen Randolph got you into it?
Stephen Randolph was a driving force. He wasn't the only thing, but
yes. Oh, he picked you up in Uber? Yeah. Where, so how did you meet Stephen?
Good question.
Is it none of my business?
No,
is
no.
Is it a thing? Because Stephen has a checkered past.
He does, but no, it's fine. I don't, so that's why. You know it's clean. We did an improv class together, and he was hosting shows for Sam Tripoli.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he was like, you should come do my show. I was like, man, I don't do stand-up. He's like, you should do stand-up. I started.
So you were doing improv.
Yeah.
Now, when you said you're funny, you are funny. I can tell you're a funny guy, and
you're
like, seem to have some confidence.
Thank you.
So
it means a lot coming from you. You're a very funny guy.
Well, thank you. And I don't say it. I guess now I'm thinking I'm funny, or people say it, I guess. But you said I'm funny. And I didn't take it as like a braggadocious thing. I can say, okay, you're funny. You seem like a nice guy.
Thank you.
So, and then how did you become friends with Brenton?
Brenton and I became friends.
You met on Jay Swipe.
Yes, yeah. So that's how that happened. Dee Burdett introduced us.
Yeah.
Runs a lot of the comedy websites for tickets and all that, right?
Yeah, but I think she was the manager at the Improv at the time in Hollywood.
That's where you guys met.
Yeah.
Now, also, we are live on Periscope. That's the difference. A lot of these other podcasts, they won't take the chance. They will not acknowledge outside the studio. We're different. We have actual live viewers right now.
Incredible.
Let's see what they say. We have Esther Koo. Stay with Howard Kramer right there. The great Howard Kramer. He was on Austin Stories. Mike Judge, creator of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Respects this guy to the point where Beavis and Butthead came back for the revival a couple years ago. This guy right here in the chat room was a writer on that show.
Wow.
That's a great accomplishment.
Absolutely.
And you remember that show Scare Tactics?
Mm-hmm.
I think they filmed it in Vegas.
Yeah.
This guy, Howard Kramer, went
to
your hometown.
Networking.
In Las Vegas to work on that show Scare Tactics. So you're looking at a guy who gets it. And I don't know if he bets on football. I was going to say, like, you have a sports book. So you know who Howard Kramer is?
I don't, but I want to know who he is now.
Now Brenton knows who he is.
Have a sum a bit is one of my favorite things.
There you go.
Out there.
He loves it. Now how does Brenton know about Howard and you don't? I want to know.
I feel like I do now that you said to have a sum a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to know every comedian.
No, and I mean, you know, there's a lot of them out there, Brody. But he seems like a great comic. If you write for anything Mike Judge does, you're obviously very funny.
I think you are. That's something to that's a feather in your cap. Aaron has something to say. I can tell. Aaron.
He's also a great songwriter. Dragon Boy Suede.
Yep. There you go. Did I say he was Dragon Boy Suede?
No.
Yes. SBS did not acknowledge DBS, and that can't happen.
That cannot
happen. SBS and DBS, good guys, veterans, respected, positive energy, and that's what it's all about. And I'm not. I always say, like, I'm not always positive. All I'm saying is the times I've been positive, good things have happened, and a lot of people do say being positive, the results are there.
Mm-hmm.
So. That alone should make you at least strive for some positivity.
Yeah,
that's what I try to tell people.
Last night when I came in and watched a bit of your set, it was the first time I've seen you sitting down, not playing the drums.
Oh, on that chair?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the reason why I was sitting on the stool. I normally sit on. You've seen me sit on the stool, right?
Yeah.
I'm the new Mark Maron. That's what I do.
Who broke the stool?
Somebody had sex with the stool too many times. I don't know, but. The stool's been kind of, the stool in the main room at the Comedy Store has been a little
rickety
the last month or two.
I don't like the wooden stool. I miss the old steel one.
Well, they got to fix this wooden one because it's like a freaking Jenga. It's ready to fall. But I was ready to sit on it last night, and the whole crowd was saying, "Don't do it. It's going to fall. It's like going to fall." I go, "I know what I'm doing. I've been here. This is my spot." And then I said, well, maybe I won. It was like rocking a little bit. I'm sure it wouldn't fall. But that's why I ended up just sitting in that chair. It wasn't ideal. And last night at the main room, the crowd was good. Don't get me wrong. They were good. They laughed. But there were a couple. I would say one guy.
The guy that you had to move?
Yeah, he was acting a little weird. And he was the only one. But a Tuesday night. Why was there a Tuesday night main room show? Which is nice.
I think there was like a fallout.
A mix up with the show?
Yeah, with like a promoter. So they just booked their own show, but it was great. It was sold out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing the main room again tonight. I mean, the Wednesday main room, I think I'm doing the main room, yes.
Yeah, you are.
The main room Wednesdays.
I'm actually bringing you up.
Enjoy it. I'll give you my intro after the show here. I'll write it down.
I'll memorize it.
The, what was I going to say? Main room last night was good. The Wednesday night was, you know, obviously having Rogue in and that killer lineup. Just,
yeah.
They stay in. I mean, they bring the crowd in. Yeah, I don't know. It was I wasn't ideal, but I worked through it. I sat down on that chair, and then it was the guy was a little annoying, but the thing with those annoying guys, you don't want to have the crowd turn on you.
Yeah. I think it was late, and he wanted more attention than you wanted to give him.
Yeah, it might have been
He wanted focus on him, and he was there by himself, and.
Yeah, he was pulling focus a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to come off as a jerk, but I wasn't, having fun. But I told the audience, I go, guys, I'm not. But they were fine with it. And then I had these guys who were next to him in that vicinity, and they were, arms crossed negative. They didn't get it. They were from Gardena. They were South Bay guys. So, you know, Gardena is the opposite of the Valley. But you know what? I just stuck with them. I stayed on them. They were older, I think Mexican guys, they said. I was called them Samoan, but they liked that. And yeah, I just kind of had to I felt like I had to chisel away at them. They were like frozen icebergs, and I just kept coming at them. But they were big guys, so I felt like I could kind of lay into them. And then I broke them, and they stuck around. They could have easily have left, but they stuck around. So, it's those sets that.
You had the whole room connected.
Yeah. And I did it sitting on the chair, which I wouldn't normally do. Yeah, unless I was playing drums.
Yeah.
And then I worked through that, that annoying guy somewhat, and then that cold group from Gardena. So, I love it. I get excited. My day is built around my stand up spots. I'm totally committed to the Comedy Store. I mean, I like the other clubs too, but I'm talking about if I have one spot, it's that's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Doing my spot, being the best stand-up I could be. You know, some people say that, you've got to take action. I talked about this on my Periscope the other day. There's something about putting all your, I'm not saying put all your eggs into one basket, into stand-up. But there is something about really saying, in this day and age, it's kind of refreshing to have the guy go, I'm only into stand-up. I used to get on guys who go, I'm just a stand-up. You don't do a podcast? No. You don't do social media? No. You don't do this? No. And I would say, you got to get with the times. Now you see a guy like that, and it's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
And that's what the Comedy Store is allowing with having more shows and more spots.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech is always going to be, that's the number one thing. So it was just something about, I was talking about how not, you can take all your thoughts, my thoughts all day going to be in that best spot, because also in the back of my mind, it's Los Angeles. You never know who's in the audience.
Right.
You could have a great set or, an okay set or whatever, and somebody's there, a director or somebody from anything, a sports team. Whatever, and sees you and goes, I want to have you be a part of something. Mm-hmm. So you always know in the back of your mind can happen.
Mm.
That's not to say that's not what drives you, but in my mind, I know that, okay, that's happening. And then when you do the main room, obviously you're getting a cut of the door. I think that does play into it. You're not getting $15. You're getting over $100.
You have to elevate yourself.
What's that?
You have to elevate yourself. You can't phone in any set.
Here's the deal. I don't phone in. I'm the most professional professional.
That's part of being professional. Yes.
I'm saying the getting the cut of the door of the main room, for me, doesn't make me put on a better show. It makes me just feel a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I still put on the same show, but it's also getting a little bit of the cut of the doors also. And I was always loyal to the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to run late. And, Tommy, the old booker, was always gave me one or two spots. He says, if you're in town on the weekends, it was like a 11:45, 12 o'clock spot. And I've spoken about this before. It's I'm just always loyal to the Comedy Store, and it's nice to see that it's doing what it's doing.
Right.
He used to do this thing. I want to share this story. When I was a door guy there, and I'd be working the main room and you'd be closing, he would have me go get his old checks. Like, he wouldn't pick them up for like a month or so.
Oh, I remember. I remember.
He would guess to like the dollar how much he thought the check would be, and he was pretty much right almost every single time. Just
I
guessing.
Did that? I was doing that?
Oh, yeah. Just based on the number of people. You remember the shows, you'd know how many people were in the room, and you'd be able to guess to the dollar.
Well, these are much better times now, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they're better times now.
Yeah.
I mean, the rooms were half full then.
Yeah. And I never got main room spots. Mm. I was just did my $15 whatever OR spots. Mm-hmm. And I never, in 10 years, never got a main room. And then Tommy, because I was getting ready for La Jolla, and he said to do a longer set to get ready for it, I'll put you up at the end in the main room and you can kind of spread your wings a little bit. And I did that, and then he just kept giving it to me. So, again.
Best thing he's ever done. Seriously. Yeah. Like, it's so entertaining to watch Brody close a show at the greatest. Store.
I have a good time with it. Do you know baseball?
Not very much. I mean, a little bit. I can give you a little backstory. So the Stars, that used to be the team's the 51s.
Yeah. They play Cashman Field.
Yep. I've been there many a times. My dad was friends with Tommy Lasorda. He used to come into town. You got to get my dad on. I'm doing him justice. But, I know baseball a little bit.
You do know baseball?
A little bit, yeah. Like, I mean, don't get, you know, you're like the baseball connoisseur, but I.
Well, it's in my blood.
Yeah.
It's in my blood.
Wow, look at this.
Aaron gets it, too, though.
Baseball card game.
The baseball card game.
Oh, boy.
Sweeping the nation.
Aaron gets it, too.
Bringing families together.
Yeah.
Aaron gets this, too. Aaron might get this one. I think we did. You may have done that one before. Now, watch. This is very simple. Aaron will do this.
All right.
There's two of us now.
Yeah, you got it.
There's two Aarons?
Yeah, I'm not Tom. I'm definitely Aaron, too. We can say
this
Aaron, too.
This is just a basic warm-up just to get the blood flowing. This is beyond basic. This is almost, you should know it. Go ahead. Take a guess. Who is it? That's how the game is.
Whatever card you have in your hand?
It's like it's a magic trick. You're from,
name
you're
a
from
baseball
Vegas.
Player.
A
Chris, okay, Frank Thomas.
It's a Chris Angel. You know what? This guy is African-American.
Okay, so good. What a connection.
That is a connection. He was a switch hitter. Aaron can get this pretty quick.
Yeah. African-American switch hitter.
There you go.
What year is the card from?
That's a great guess, and it's not Tim Raines. Yes. And I'll tell you what, there was another African-American switch hitter that I passed upon because I think we had him on. We talked about him. So I passed upon that African-American switch hitter.
Eddie Murray.
That's another one. Yeah. There is something with African American and switch hitting. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing.
Did Ken
thing.
Griffey Jr. switch hit?
No. That's racist.
Sorry. So sorry. I did not mean to be racist on your show, Brody.
It's all right.
Please accept my apology.
Somebody in the booth already got in the chat room. Oh. Aaron, you would know this.
Otis Nixon.
Was he a switch hitter? I think he may have been. Here's the deal. I'm going to give
he
it.
He wore both flaps on his helmet, so yeah.
Ah.
Okay, this guy. Was a great. He was a great shortstop.
Switch hitting African American shortstop.
Switch hitting African American shortstop. They got it in the chat room.
That's
and you would know this, Aaron.
Yeah.
When you think,
I didn't see, but
is it Sean Dunstan?
He wasn't switch hitting. Was Brenton, would you like to take a guess, or did
I
you see
saw
it?
The answer.
You saw it.
Yeah.
This guy, when you think of a movie, it's based off a movie, maybe, a famous movie.
Mm-hmm.
I need your help, Aaron.
John Casablanca.
Here's another one. Do you like rock and roll?
Yeah.
What's that band, Sabbath?
Black Sabbath. African-American black? What's going on, Brody?
Yeah, what's happening here?
This is you're turning more racist now.
No. That's a great clue.
It's a great clue.
It gives it away.
Oh, Ozzy Smith.
Thank you.
The greatest.
Oh, that is racist when I said Black Sabbath. That is racist.
Thank you.
Thank
I wouldn't
you for
say
protecting
it.
Me.
I got you. I've always got your back, Brody.
That was racist.
The Wizard of Oz, yes. yes, Ozzy Smith.
I apologize for that.
One of my heroes. Yeah. From Watts.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he is. He
I
went,
didn't know that.
Went to Locke High School.
But yeah.
He went to the same high school as Eddie Murray.
Ah. Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
They both went to Locke, both as switch hitters. What's happening?
Yeah.
I don't think you'll know this guy because he might be before your time. I don't think you'll know it.
Okay.
You might know it, Aaron.
That's right. What the hell?
This guy was a great catcher.
Johnny Bench.
He played mostly in the 90s.
Okay.
Mike Piazza.
Darren Dalton.
I would say not as big as those guys, okay. But you would have to know baseball, mm-hmm. But he's not an unknown guy. He was actually good, had a good solid career.
Mm-hmm.
Solid career.
Was
I would
it a Hall
say,
of Fame career?
Not a Hall of Fame career. Catcher, 90s. Had a good college career. He was a top, he may have been a top pick.
Charles Johnson.
Same era.
Yeah, I know.
Same era. And I think this guy was known for a good college career.
Did a lot of clubs and colleges.
Yeah, very funny. Did a lot of clubs and colleges.
I think I don't know. I'm seeing a lot on your Periscope. I'm surprised how many people like chime in. I mean, unless they're
why?
Doing some Googling.
I know. Wait, Aaron,
No, you're a prince of Periscope. I get it, but you have some really good.
They're dedicated. Yeah. We have Howard Kramer in here. We have write that down. Okay. There was when you're with a. I don't want to get graphic. Okay. I could do a team, right? Where's Fonzie from?
Milwaukee.
Okay.
Brewers.
There. That's how you play the baseball card game. That's how you play the baseball card game. When you're not sure, you go, let me go team. Let me throw team. And you can't just go team. You can't. You have to do clue. So I put Fonzie. Wheels turn. Milwaukee, boom, I acknowledge. Yes, you're correct. That's how you play the baseball card game.
It's not Mike Matheny, is it?
That's a good guess, but no.
He was a Brewers catcher.
You want me to say it's...
He's obviously a white guy.
He's a white guy.
Yeah. There aren't many black catchers.
There is a television show.
Uh-huh.
That was a trucker, and he had a monkey with him.
BJ and the Bear.
Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name? What's the name of the show?
BJ and the Bear.
Okay, what are the first initials there?
B and J.
There you go.
Those are
Milwaukee.
His initials.
B and J. If you don't say ma'am, you say
sir.
BJ.
Oh, BJ Surhoff?
That's how you
Boom.
Play the baseball card game.
That
That's how you play the baseball card game. BJ Surhoff right here.
Isn't he an outfielder?
No, he was a catcher. There he is catching right
Look
there.
Look at that.
That's how you play.
Majestic.
That's how you play the baseball card game.
Can you cover Brenton's face a little bit more?
And in
there
mint
you go.
Condition.
You do not quit for the baseball card game.
I don't
game.
Remember him being a catcher at all. He was an outfielder for all of my life.
Nope, this is catcher.
BJ Surhoff. On the Orioles and he was on the Braves for a little bit?
He may have been on the Braves too. I don't know, but this was from...
What year is that from, yeah. Because maybe his legs went bad or something. He switched to the outfield somehow. That seems like a bad idea.
You'll probably know this one. Let's see if Eric knows this one. This guy.
Not even going to correct him anymore.
First of all, it's Year of the Dog, 2018.
Oh, yep, that's me.
Are you serious?
1982, this is my year.
I'm Year of the Dog also.
Oh, my God, that's great.
1970.
Yeah, look at 82. That.
Connection. Wait, are you serious?
Yeah. Look at this.
What are the odds that you'd have three Year of the Dogs?
Unbelievable.
What year were you born?
87.
That's not the year dog.
What are you year of what? Year of what?
I have no idea.
It's the Chinese. You know the Chinese horse.
Chinese
zodiac. Oh. Excuse me.
You're year of the orange flavor chicken. You're the chicken orange flavor. That is chills. That's hashtag chills. That you have three.
Super.
We also have three guys with weird last names in here.
Yep. And two Aarons.
Not you.
Brittle come.
Yeah. Brody Stevens. Great name.
Stephen Brody Stevens. Stephen Brody. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And what's your last name again?
Brungart.
Brungart.
That's like German. That's Austrian.
It's very German.
That's hardcore. And what's your last name?
Maliner.
Maliner. Yeah. What is that, like Koresh? Is that
Vegas.
Like hippie?
No, I think it's Ukrainian.
I see that. Mm. I like it. Maliner.
Yeah.
Interesting. You're the dog.
Yes, sir.
This guy had a dog nickname. He, too, was African-American.
Okay.
Oh, I know this. This is too easy.
Aaron knows this. It's too easy for Aaron.
Give me one more clue.
Do you remember a cartoon?
Okay.
A cartoon dog.
Heathcliff.
With a trench coat.
Garfield.
No, he was more of a... He wasn't a cartoon. He was more of a public service.
Oh, Scruff. Scruff.
Close.
The magic dog.
No.
Sorry.
Close.
Gruff.
Almost.
The crime. The crime dog.
Yes.
Yes.
His name wasn't Gruff? I might have been doing a lot of drugs back then.
He was Irish, so it's... What Gruff?
McGruff.
McGruff.
McGruff, you're right.
Yeah.
And then what was...
I didn't know he was Irish.
Okay.
Well, I mean...
So, what's the name?
McGruff.
Okay. It's not McGruff.
MacGruff.
McGriff.
McGriff.
Okay. McGriff.
McGriff.
And there's a character on the Flintstones.
Fred McGriff.
Bingo. That's how Boom. You play the baseball card game. That's
These clues are what does it.
You play the baseball card
All right, now
game.
I want another one. I want one more that I don't know because I think I can get it with just your clues. How about that? Let's go deep.
Honestly, could you name a baseball player?
I did. I named Frank Thomas. There was a few I liked.
Can you name a non-like
big
name baseball player?
I was a big fan of Ryan Sandberg, but he was a big.
I just spoke to him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, number 23. I win a lot of money roulette with that. More connections. Hashtag chill. Chills.
I'm still looking at B.J. Surhoff as a catcher.
I'm positive. I am positive.
He might have played, you know, he could have played.
He went to North Carolina.
You might both be right.
He might have been.
I mean, obviously,
no, I'm sure
you're
he played
right.
The outfield
He's
also.
In catcher gear on the card.
Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, that's not fake news.
Left field, third baseman, catcher. Yeah.
Yeah, I played a bunch of positions. Good for him. Is he still alive?
Oh, yeah, he's only 53.
Oh, good. All right.
From the Bronx.
What are you laughing at, Brent?
Orioles Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Well, my friend would kill me for that because he's a big Baltimore fan. So.
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, Brian would kill me right now.
You'll probably know this.
Silver medalist in the 84 Olympics.
Awesome.
I'll do one more, and then maybe somebody can quiz me.
All right.
How long have we gone for? About 52?
57.
57.
How long is this one? Four hours? 5 hours?
Just do about an hour or so. All right. I didn't take any 5 hour energy today. No apple cider vinegar,
kombucha.
Is that what apple cider vinegar is? Pretty much is
no.
Kombucha.
No.
What's the difference if kombucha?
It's a fermented tea. Kombucha, fermented tea.
Not fermented apples.
No.
So what would you say is
really good for your gut biome?
Do you know about apple cider vinegar?
I do.
What do you know about it?
I know that it's great for you, but I think kombucha is better.
It is?
Yeah.
In what way?
Probiotics.
What about...
Big thing.
What about like fat burning and taking off the inches and helping with clearing up nasal drip?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to do any of those things, but probiotics...
Well, how do I sound?
You sound fantastic. You have a very good radio voice.
That's a lot of it has to do with apple cider vinegar.
This all sounds like some Year of the Dog mumbo jumbo to
me.
Right.
No, apple cider vinegar,
Sit
I'll
back,
tell you what,
the
has helped me with acid reflux.
That's it's very good for that.
Yes.
But you know what's better than that? Drinking a gallon of water a day.
I get that. Mm-hmm. I know I did that gallon of water a day trick.
It's great for you.
But it's... You
pee every 5 minutes, yeah.
And I do anyway because I have a prostate issue.
Okay.
But who doesn't?
That's true.
No, the water, you're right. No, you could. Did you know you could reset your body if you just did like a water fast for like 2 or 3 days?
I have GERD, so I know all about that.
Gastrointestinal infection relative disorder.
Yeah, that's right.
I have PTSD, post-traumatic San Diego.
Oh.
Okay. Here's one. This guy... You might know this, Aaron. You probably know this.
I like that you know these, by the way, Aaron.
This guy was a pitcher.
Mike Piazza.
Mike Piazza wasn't a pitcher.
He was not.
This guy is
quite the opposite.
This guy is from the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, home 818 till we die.
You got it. He's from the San Fernando Valley.
I don't know it based on just that, no.
He
Tell him which high school he went to.
You want a high school?
Yes.
Cleveland High School in Reseda.
I was joking, but you knew that, and that's really impressive.
Not really.
I mean, he's from the Valley.
He's from the Valley.
Yeah, he better know.
He went to Reseda. You won't know it if I say his name. Well, you know. I bet you Aaron knows it.
Okay.
He helped win a World Series. I believe he won a Cy Young.
Hmm. That's still not enough info for me.
He's white.
That's most of them.
He's not a... Racism 101. What in the world?
Racist.
That just struck...
Jansen right now is
baseball
very upset.
Game.
Played
ripping,
on the Royals.
Ripping people apart.
Played on the Royals.
Brett Saber.
You got it. That's how you play the baseball card game.
Incredible.
Have we ever mentioned him? You might have... His name might have came up. Because we play in this era. He's a 90s era guy. So that guess probably came up. Mm. But the fact that I basically told Aaron, you know this.
Yeah.
Gave him the confidence knowing that I can kind of like beat around the bush and just like let him know that I know. When I said that he went to Cleveland, that the fact that I knew that right away, I think Aaron picked up on that. I could be wrong.
Aaron, did you pick up on that?
I picked up on
that. There you go.
Why don't we, let me see. Here. Aaron, I'm going to pass over the box to you, and then we'll do one.
I can just get up and get one. Do you want me to do that?
All right, yeah, why don't you do that?
Get a stack.
All right.
Why don't you bring the whole box?
Wow, okay.
And then you and Aaron can do that.
This is pretty impressive, this box here.
Yep.
I mean, all right, here we go.
So we're having a good time. We're here. We'll wrap it up.
I'm having a great time.
You think the listeners are having a good time?
Absolutely.
Let's ask the Periscope. They enjoy seeing...
You know what they're going to say, bro.
Three guys. Yeah, Brenton here is probably working while we're here. He's always working. He's a workaholic. No, I wouldn't call him workaholic.
Okay.
I don't think you are. I don't think you're workaholic.
I mean, it's fun work, so it's not.
Let's see if they like it, by the way. He's a Periscope. We have 30 people, but at the end of the day, we'll probably get...
Howard, how are we doing?
Big fun. 100%. Three guys, three mics. We're like Neil Brennan. Two thumbs up. SI, three guys, one scope.
They're having a great time.
I think you just need a few people to say, yes, it's okay. That's not good.
But, Max, you know, that's honest, and I'll take it.
But, well, you know what? Easier said. It's free. It's my podcast. 818 Pure. Audio is good. This guy's saying audio's good. That's not. Audio's good. It's okay. Audio's good. What a jerk, those two.
Why did you pick up on that? They
lighting
had some good stuff.
Good. Lighting you
had some good
is
stuff
good.
There. The optimism. Yeah. All right, I picked one, Brody.
Okay,
I got one.
Here we go. I may or may not know it. Start, if it's a complete no-name guy, I'm not going to know
start
it.
Start by saying you know this.
You know this.
Okay.
First off, you
all
know
right.
this.
He plays first base. No, go ahead.
All right. He is African-American.
Okay. Jackie Robinson.
No. But you know this. Okay, here we go. 90s era. He was a second baseman.
African-American?
Yes, sir.
Second baseman, 90s era. Not Lou Whitaker.
No.
Oh. African-American. Now, is this guy, you're saying I do know his name.
You know this.
Frank White.
No.
African-American? Second baseman, I do know
he was he was named MVP of the All-Star game in his second appearance.
Harold Reynolds.
No. But you know this.
It's not Tim Raines. Son of a gun.
He
played... Is he light skin or dark skin? No,
I would. He'd be between like Reggie Jackson and Frank Thomas complexion.
Second baseman? African? Julio Franco.
Boom!
But that's not African-American. That's
what are you
Dominican.
Talking
he
about?
Threw me off.
Okay, well, he looks African-American
didn't he,
here.
Did he say African-American he from did. My...
He's got an afro.
Come on.
Come on, how do I
no
not know
way.
That?
That's
very
not how you
racist.
Play the baseball card.
Very
game.
Racist.
And you said first baseman. He became a first baseman.
He became
he
a
did.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
one more. Okay, let me redeem myself. I'm sorry.
You just called Julio Franco African American. He's from Dominican.
Well, but he looked. But you know, he has an
he
afro.
Locked. Race card game. That's where we were playing the race card game.
Well, I'd like to change it up.
All right, we'll try another one.
All right, here we go. I'm going deep.
This is bringing. We're learning about culture here. Four white guys.
Bottom of the box. Here it is. Oh, you're going to get this. This is...
It's too easy.
It's too easy. Should I go back in or you want to just do this right now?
No, do it.
Ask Aaron. Ask Brent. My eyes are closed.
This is super easy.
Jackie Robinson.
No. No.
What era?
He is... all right, hold on.
It's too easy. Grab another one.
What do you think, Aaron? Should I grab another one? Should we...
This is podcast. We got to keep it moving, Aaron.
I just want to... I want to hear what clues you give. That's what's fascinating to me is what clues you will give.
All right. Okay.
Here we go.
Hometown, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Hometown, New Orleans. Is this 90s era?
Yes.
Yes.
And
he's a lefty all the way live. He bats left and throws left from New Orleans.
And you said he's African American?
No, sir. I did not say that. That's racist.
You want me to take a guess? And somebody said, we're going to take it from here.
Okay.
Somebody said Will Clark.
Boom.
Got it.
Got it.
That's how that's how you play the baseball card game. You will utilize the Periscope audience.
Ask the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We included them right out of the gate. New Orleans. That was impressive. And they got it. Mm-hmm. It was Dark Star.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Last one.
And we'll wrap it up. Brenton's yawning.
That's always Brenton, though. Don't.
Yeah. That's
well, he works a lot. Mm-hmm.
From Trenton, Michigan.
Michigan. John Smoltz.
No. You know this.
Kirk Gibson.
Nope.
David Wells.
No. Let me give you one more hint.
Barry Larkin.
No.
Not Dirk.
Throws left. Bats left. Born in 1970. Stanford University grad.
Throws left. Bats left. Stanford University grad. I should know this.
You do know this.
He's about your age.
Pitcher.
Yeah. Hold on.
Probably playing 10 years
ago. Hold on. Left-handed pitcher. Stanford. 10 years ago. My eyes are closed.
He fired a one-hitter.
It's not Andrew Lorraine.
Nope. As a rookie, he fired a one-hitter. You know this.
I should know this. I should know this.
Played for the Braves.
Braves.
Steve Avery.
Mike Minor?
Steve Avery.
You got it.
Steve Avery didn't go to Stanford.
Read the card.
He didn't play for Stanford.
No, he was a graduate of Stanford. I said Stanford grad. Didn't say played.
That's kind of a trick.
It wasn't a trick.
That's kind of a trick.
I just read the back of the card.
No way. Brody. He didn't play for
Sabotage.
I know Steve Avery. That's a
I'm horrible at this game. I'm
he
so
said
sorry,
Stanford.
Brody.
That's unbelievable. That's double. This guy's trying to. It's Aaron guy. One of Brenton's.
We had this planned.
One of Brenton's goons coming in here. A goon, he's not a big guy. Goon's like a big guy.
Okay.
Can I ask how come some of the cards are in protective cases?
They're expensive.
My sister put them in there. I stole these from my sister.
Jeez.
I stole these baseball cards from my 51-year-old sister.
Wow.
That's what we do. She got into baseball cards. She started running with a bad crowd. She got into baseball cards.
It happens.
That's what happens. All right, listen, we should probably wrap it up. We could keep going, but we should wrap it up, I think.
End on a high note, Brody.
I'm good with it. Aaron feels like, we could do more, but...
I got that one, so I feel like it's a high note.
Oh, is that a challenge? Did that sound like a challenge?
No, he got it.
Okay.
Well, you got Steve A?
Yeah, he said it.
He got it.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I didn't sabotage it.
I didn't go Tom Glavine. I knew better than that.
So he did get it. All right, Steve Avery. Let's go ahead and look at the comments right now.
More people. That's good than the last time you said.
It's the game that's sweeping the nation.
It's true.
That's what they're saying. Have you been on a podcast before?
Yes, I used to have a podcast. I was one of the first people in Los Angeles to have a podcast. Brenton was on it.
Mm-hmm. Brenton was on it. Brenton, you have
this is 2009, though. I mean, this was before anybody knew what a podcast was. I was a pioneer.
Gotcha. And I was in Simi Valley today. Simi Valley High School. What's their team name?
The Pioneers.
You got it. That's a connection. Oh. What are the odds?
The podcast.
Dog, dragon, Brenton.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's something going on. I believe in numerology. astrology and numerology. People say, I mean, you look up in the stars. I mean, they have the stars and the numeral. You can look and see Gemini, Sagittarius, or something to it.
Yep.
You believe in it?
I do.
Okay. Brenton, do you believe in numerology at all?
I believe in
it. Why?
Why are you so aggressive with it? That's not, the numbers in the skies wouldn't say to be aggressive about that.
Well, I'm a Gemini.
Okay. All right.
You know.
Geminis are aggressive?
I didn't know that.
They can be. They'll go back and forth. But don't take it personal. It's just me. All right, listen, I think we'll wrap it up. I had a good time.
Thank you for having us.
You got it. I appreciate it. I needed it. The show, we don't need a guest.
No.
But I think it's good when we have a guest, too. It helps me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was good. Brenton, thank you for coming in. I appreciate
it.
Yeah,
of course. The
great Brenton Biddlecum.
You almost got it.
A lot of guys mess it up, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people give up.
I should know how to say it. But Tiffany Haddish, she messes up names.
Yeah, that was...
Was it bad? I didn't see it.
I didn't think it was bad. It was she's so talented as a comic that she put a fun spin on it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was bad, but people are going to be upset because it was such a big moment for the people that were nominated. That
oh, yeah.
Well, they felt it was disrespectful.
Well, plus they just...
That's where the controversy is. But when I watched it, I didn't think it was bad at all.
So you've seen it.
Yeah.
God, my beard's gray. And Eric, where are you performing? What do you got? What do you do?
Aaron.
Yeah,
you're like this guy that's over here, same name.
So you got shows.
I got shows. Got shows coming up. Yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna be fun. AaronMaliner.com.
Thanks for coming in, and Aaron, our great great producer, executive technician. Thank
Co-host.
You for being here, doing a good job. We have fun with the baseball card game.
So much fun.
It's silly.
Yeah.
It's silly and simple, and it's.
Not racist at all.
No.
No.
Not at all.
That's your call if you want to look at it that way. We give you the option.
Thank you.
I had fun. We'll be back next week. We're cranking these things out. It's All Things Comedy. It's a festival of fun, festival of sports. We're working on some names here. Festival of sports. We have the Periscope. We have the podcast. We have Burbank, California. My name is Stephen Brody Stevens. And until next time, yes, you got it. Push and believe. Never forget. 2018, Year of the Dog. Enjoy.